The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Lent is from Jeremiah chapter 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 5. Every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sin, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also God did not exalt himself, Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, You are my son, today I have begotten you. As he says also in another place, You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. And they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. And they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. He said to them, What do you want me to do for you? Then they said to him, Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory. Jesus said to them, You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, We are able. Jesus said to them, The cup that I drink, you will drink, and the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them, but it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. James and John, the sons of thunder, the sons of Zebedee, had dreams of greatness, visions of glory, dancing through their heads as Jesus rides in to come into his kingdom. With their heads firmly in the clouds, James and John asked Jesus for a favor. Actually, it was more like a demand. We want you to do whatever we tell you to do, Jesus. They'd like to be first. They'd like honor when Jesus comes into his glory in Jerusalem. These two brothers imagined how wonderful it would be, how it was going to be, when Jesus is revealed to be who he is and glorified before the whole world to see. And as so often is the case, when our heads are filled with visions of glory, they weren't listening. They weren't listening when Jesus had just said, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and there the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they'll condemn him to death. They will deliver him over to the Gentiles. They'll mock him. They'll spit on him. They'll flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise." So immediately after those words, with dreams of power and might and glory, James and John come to Jesus and ask a very bold Sons of Thunder type question. "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." Bold. "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." Apparently, this wasn't new. They had been dreaming of glory for quite some time, because back in Mark chapter 9, well, this is Mark 10, so a previous chapter, Jesus caught his disciples arguing about who was the greatest. And to which Jesus responded, "If anyone would be first," you want to be first? "He must be last, last of all, and servant of all." And now, here they are, one chapter later, asking to be first. It seems they weren't listening then either. James and John wanted the highest positions of honor when Jesus comes into his glory. And in this conversation, this interaction between Jesus and James and John and his disciples we learn quite a bit from this conversation. First, from this conversation, we learn when we ask Jesus for something, like James and John did, oftentimes we don't always know exactly what it is that we're asking for. Whenever I hear this request of James and John, I think of the two criminals who were crucified next to Jesus, one on his right and one on his left. And after all, it is on the cross where Jesus is glorified. So Jesus' glory is to be lifted up on the cross for all to see, to suffer, and to die to win the salvation of the entire world. That's his glory. So if James and John actually knew what they were asking, if they actually got what they were requesting, they would be sitting there, or they would be hanged there, strung up right next to Jesus on his right and left, lifted up with him on Mount Calvary. Have you ever asked God for something and didn't get it? Only to find out later, thanks be to God, that it was a tremendous blessing that you didn't get that? That God didn't answer the prayer, at least not in the way that you thought he should? You see, in faith, we trust that God looks ahead in our life, at all these points that are in our life, and he looks ahead, he sees what we truly need at each and every one of those points. And we recognize and we trust that he sees and he knows what is truly best for us at each one of those points. And yes, even if that includes suffering. So rather than dreaming of our own glory, but instead humbling ourselves to God's will, we learn to be content with what God has given us. And we rejoice in that, because we know that what God gives us is always what is best for his dear, precious children. Second, we learn from this conversation that in the kingdom of God, honor is never taken. Honor is always given. Honor is never taken. It is always given. And that's when our epistle says in Hebrews 5, verse 4, no one takes this honor. He's talking about the priesthood, of course, but no one takes this honor for himself. You don't take it, but only when called by God. So to serve Jesus, To be a servant, a slave, actually, a servant or slave of God serves others unselfishly. They don't lord it over one another, but they count others to be greater than themselves. That's Philippians 2, verse 3. They outdo one another in showing honor to one another. That's Romans 12, 10. In this life, God may very well place you in positions of honor. You may very well receive recognition and glory in those positions. That's not so that we could be conceited and get puffed up in our own positions of glory. Rather, God uses us in those various positions to care for others, to serve. And ultimately, what service is love, to love one another. As Christians, we learn this from Jesus Christ himself. He served. He didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He humbled himself and became obedient, even to death on a cross, for the sake of, for the good of, others, including you. Sacrificing himself for others, for our greatest need. So James and John are still dreaming of honor and greatness, not humility and service and self-sacrificial love. They weren't ready. That's what that means. But eventually they will be ready. They will serve unselfishly after Easter. After they see and touch and speak to and are redeemed by Christ the crucified and risen Lord Jesus, then they will be ready and they will be willing to serve, even to the point of giving their very lives for the sake of Jesus and the gospel. But at this point, Mark chapter 10, they're not ready. Jesus, knowing full well that they weren't ready, responds to James and John, "Do you think that you can drink of the cup that I drink?" Of course, in the Old Testament, to drink of a cup means to share in one's fate. Often it was the cup of wrath. Jesus will soon drink of that cup of wrath. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus falls on his face and he prays, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." It was the Father's will that the Son, his Son, Jesus Christ, would drink that cup of wrath, God's punishment for sin. Jesus takes God's judgment against our sins, not the sins that he himself committed, but the sins of others, for the sake of others. James and John, do you think you can drink of that cup? You can't, at least not yet. So, how about the baptism then, that I am going to be baptized with, Jesus says. Are you able to be baptized with that baptism? Now, here Jesus isn't talking about the baptism that first comes to our minds, the reason why we have the font center, front and center, to remind you that you are indeed baptized children of God, that you are his precious children, you're baptized of the water and the Spirit, and all of your sins are forgiven. Here Jesus is talking about a different, a kind of baptism, like a baptism, his suffering, that is about he's and death that he's about to experience in Jerusalem. So we can safely assume, I would say, that the disciples were likely baptized at this point in time in Mark chapter 10. But the suffering that they would face for Christ and for his word, that would come later. And that leads us then to the third thing that we learn from this conversation between Jesus and his disciples. We know that wherever this life leads us, if you're a believer in Christ, the crucified and risen Lord Jesus, you can count, wherever this life might lead you, you can rest assured that you are and you will be called to serve others. And you will be called to sacrifice for the sake of others. As a father, a mother, a grandfather, grandmother, accountant, farmer, engineer, teacher, mechanic, nurse, student, whatever your vocation might be, wherever God has placed you in this life, you are called in that vocation to serve. Selflessly love and to sacrifice yourself for the sake of others. Instead of seeking honor and recognition, you know, all of those vocations that I just mentioned, you might very well receive honor and recognition, right? You should honor your father and mother. So you might receive honor and recognition in those vocations in this life. That's great. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not what it's all about. And that should not be the goal of the Christian life, to seek honor and glory. Instead of seeking honor and glory and recognition, let the words of Jesus ring in your ears. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man, Christ himself, came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Christ serves by ransoming you. You are saved because he drank the Father's cup down to the last drop. All of God's wrath he took out on his only Son, not you. He loves you with a perfect, self-sacrificial, serving love. So what about honor and glory and greatness and all these things? Glory in the kingdom of God is certainly not as the world has glory. Those given authority, that's what Jesus says, the Gentiles, they lord it over others. But James and John are not to do that. The disciples are not to do that. James and John will come to learn this very well. They will not be popish little dictators over Christ's kingdom on earth. They will not be that. For the kingdom of Christ is not of this world. Nor would they be CEOs or CFOs or any other sort of business acumen or business guru in Christ Inc. Corporation. Because, of course, that is not how Christ's church on earth operates either. Instead, they will be being beset with their own weakness. They will deal gently with the ignorant and the wayward as they preach the gospel of Christ crucified for sinners. Eventually, James will be beheaded by Herod. Very early on, Acts chapter 12, James is already martyred. He wasn't ready, then he was. The Apostle John will not be martyred. By God's grace, he went on to live a rather long life. But he would be exiled, and he would definitely suffer for the name of Jesus and for the gospel. Whoever would be great, and these men are great, in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, whoever would be great in the kingdom of God must be a servant, a slave of all. Dear saints, in Christ's kingdom, in Christ's church, the kingdom of God, there is no higher honor. There is no higher glory, nothing greater in all the universe than to be a child of God, baptized into Christ's death and resurrection, to be ransomed by Christ's sacrifice on the cross, to receive that, to simply sit there and receive all that God has accomplished for you through his Son, drinking all of that cup and being baptized into suffering and death. All of that, the forgiveness, the life and salvation that he won for you, he now just gives to you, and you humbly receive it. There is no higher honor, no higher glory, nothing greater than humbly being served by Christ, your Lord and risen Master. Once again, this morning, the table is set. And here Christ comes to serve you. Serve you with his very body and blood that was given as a ransom for many, to forgive all of your sins and strengthen you in this one true faith. Humbly, passively receiving everything from Christ alone, you now are ready. You are ready. you have the great honor and privilege now of selflessly loving and serving one another. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.